May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. I enjoy Easter so much. It is, without a doubt, my favourite festival. The stories and songs of Good Friday and Easter Sunday have the power to bring tears to my eyes in a way that no other festival can. There is a depth to Easter that inspires me. And all the things that accompany the festival conspire to put fresh heart into my soul, even though I'm now 89. And yet, it is so easy to get Easter wrong. You can easily be dazzled by the chocolate, the beginning of spring, the flowers, the cheerfulness of the hymns, the gift of a four-day weekend, and a possibility of a family gathering, and find yourself being happy for any number of very good reasons, and forget what it's all about. The world has certainly forgotten what it is all about. I'm sure we all heard on the news over Easter about the supermarket manager who asked innocently but sincerely what Easter eggs had to do with religion. We know. We, who not only came to church on Easter Sunday, but who come here on a more regular basis, we will have heard, for example, from the Acts of the Apostles, that it was with great power the apostles bore witness to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. Chocolate eggs fade into insignificance. The witnesses of the resurrection preached with conviction and the power of the Holy Spirit about the truth of divine glory and the risen life of Jesus the Lord. And hearing that word proclaimed, it is possible for us to be awakened to faith in Jesus, the one who rose from the dead. Eat an Easter egg in that knowledge, and it will be worth eating. Now, John, in his Gospel this morning, explains, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. The Gospel, the Good News, is not therefore something that is confined to a book, even to such a sacred book as the Bible. The Bible contains truth, but not all the truth. Jesus told us that the Holy Spirit will lead us into all the truth. And the fact is that Jesus has continued to do signs in the presence of us, his disciples, that could never have found their way into the Bible, but continue amongst us to this very day. These are things that are instead transmitted from heart to heart, generation to generation, in the life of the church. That's us. The gospel is being passed on, not just from scribe to scribe and preacher to preacher, but from heart to heart. John, in his gospel, is quite clear that he is writing down the ages to us from heart to heart, that we may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief we may have life in his name. The peace of God comes to us when we receive the mercy of God. The point is that the good news needs to be liberated from the pages of the Bible, set free from the confines of church architecture, and placed where Jesus intended it to be, in people's lives. That doesn't mean we abandon either the Bible or the church, but that we use them correctly to celebrate the truth that has burst from the tomb and come alive in our lives. Look how unbookish and how spontaneous it was for the early church. They were full of joy, and that was received and that was reflected in the way that they behaved. We heard it in our first lesson. The whole group of them were of one heart and mind, and they shared everything they had. The preaching was from heart to heart, and everyone felt rich as the life of the risen Christ living amongst them and inside them showed in how they behaved and in all they did and all they said. Some of you who are old enough will remember the great Scottish preacher and writer William Barclay. He wrote about a sermon he once read based on the command of Jesus to his disciples to follow him. And he entitled it, "Never Mind Your Questions, Follow Him." He doesn't belittle the real and haunting doubts that come to all of us from time to time. You have to face up to them, shed some light on them somehow, and think your way through them. But what those early Christians showed us is that soon after the resurrection, when there were no written Gospels yet, and before the conversion of St. Paul, when most of the theology and philosophy and church organization had not been done yet, when no one had sat down and written a creed or a code of ethics, they didn't have to wait for the light to dawn on them. The light was already shining on them, and they just got on with it. They went on bravely on the path of duty and goodness and love. They knew what must be right. They were sure enough for that. That much of Christ was known to them because his life was living in each of them. And as far as they knew him, they followed him and lived like him. We can do the same. There are still plenty of things about which we are not sure, and even some about which we will never be sure. But we do know the value of being together as a group of disciples, worshipping and working together. We do know looking after one another is part of the Christian way, and we can get on with that. What I want to say is that those early Christians didn't let the fact that they had not got all the T's crossed and all the I's dotted get in the way. They had seen and received something of the love and power of God, and they were translating that into the way they lived their everyday lives. If you had the choice, wouldn't you rather end up in the company of the kind of Christian who hasn't got all the answers than in the company of the critic who got them all? Never mind the questions. Answers will come in God's good time. Follow Jesus. Let his Spirit lead you into all truth, and he will prove faithful to you. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, now risen from the dead and alive in the hearts and wills of your people, we thank you for the power of your risen life. We thank you that you live in us and we live in you. Lead us now to the true life, which is your life shared with all your people, and to the faithfulness which enables us to live in your eternity. Amen.